Well, we've all experienced them, the can't win scenario. Those times when no matter what we do, it's never good enough. These situations are always created by unrealistic expectations of others placed on people. In this case, people felt John was too radically obedient, while Jesus was too lax and rebellious. A leader just can't win, can they? The truth in all of this is that expectations don't define whether a result is truly successful or not. I really find the Message translation of this scripture ironic. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? Today's world, over 2,000 years later, proves that, doesn't it? Even people who conduct polls for a living have had to admit in the last year or so that these polls do not predict how things are going to turn out. Jesus tended to create a stir because he was consistently working to reset expectations. The Beatitudes redefine who is worthy in God's kingdom. The blind gain their sight, while the sighted are shown to be blind to the truth. And here, Jesus shares that God is revealing the way to the kingdom to ordinary people, while those who think they have it all and have it all down really know nothing. It's classic topsy-turvy, upside down and backwards from the way the world thinks things should work. A few years back, I was dealing with some challenges in life. High among them were a crisis of self-confidence. A good friend recommended an awesome resource called The Assertiveness Workbook, How to Express Your Ideas and Stand Up for Yourself at Work and in Relationships. The author, Randy Patterson, wrote this book, and while only 200 pages long, the book was one that took me longer to get through than books twice its size, because it forced some very deep and honest self-analysis. In its description, the workbook cites that if you've ever felt paralyzed by an imposing individual or strongly argued opposing point of view, you know that a lack of assertiveness can leave you feeling marginalized and powerless. The Assertiveness Workbook contains effective cognitive behavioral techniques to help you become more assertive. Learn how to set and maintain personal boundaries without becoming inaccessible. Become more genuine and open in relationships without fearing attack. Defend yourself when you are criticized or asked to submit to unreasonable requests. One of the best examples given was that of an Olympic athlete. For example, take the 2004 Athens Summer Olympic Games. The United States men's basketball team had names that even a person who hasn't watched a single game would probably know. Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Amari Stoudemire were all incredibly talented athletes. As is common for a team coming from the country that invented the game, expectations of fans and the media were for an easy path to Olympic gold. But that's not how things ended up working out. Poor shooting had the team losing their opening game to Puerto Rico, and ultimately earning bronze with a 5-3 record. So the question is, were those players individually lesser talents because of the expectations of the public? The truth is, they were still the same people with the same talent and the same drive. The expectations of others don't change that. Each went on to strong careers in the NBA. If those players let the disappointment of others define them, they may never have emerged to show their true potential. We need to reset expectations of today's passage too. It's one that so many are familiar with and could even repeat word for word. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the yoke of Jesus isn't just about making things easy. Jesus doesn't promise a path without challenges and struggles. In fact, we've heard in the last few weeks, Jesus made clear that there would be opposition to following him. Expectations of others will be placed upon those who follow Christ. And when we deviate from those views, we will be challenged. What Jesus does promise is that if we choose to repent and walk the path with him, the journey is lightened by Jesus' presence with us. In essence, if we follow his lead, Jesus will have our back at every turn. That support gives us the confidence to move ahead, making the choice to follow Jesus in the path that leads to God's kingdom. Famed German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way: following Jesus is not carefree affirmation, but means taking up the yoke of love and forgiveness. A burden still exists, just a different one. The burden of love and forgiveness is far easier to handle than one in a world surrounded by the pursuit of power and dominance. Dr. Lance Pape of Bright Divinity School shares another perspective. He says, how can Jesus offer rest when he asks so much? What Jesus offers is not freedom from work, but freedom from onerous labor. The easy yoke means having something to do, a purpose that demands your all and summons forth your best. It means work toward a certain future in which all of God's dreams will finally come true. To accept the yoke of the gentle and humble Lord is to embrace the worthy task that puts the soul at ease. We are called by Jesus to do challenging things, but knowing the cause is worthwhile and the reward is so great makes it far easier for us to agree to it. Ask yourself this question: do I think Jesus wants to bend the world to conform to who I am now to make the yoke easy? Or does he ask me to give up things like comfort, power, and pride that are draining and lead to frustration for the sake of serving God and our neighbors? The teaching of Jesus is about following a leader who is meek, mild, and loving. This way of Jesus, though, is not one of carefree passivity. It's not what an easy yoke means. This teaching from today's scripture comes immediately after Jesus warned them of the trouble that comes from following him. It's not that the path is easy, but that the one who follows it is one who yearns to love, not one who is quick to punish. So, what does this mean in terms of us here now? What does it mean in terms of our own burden of living up to the expectations of others? And what does our call to give up comfort for love of God and our neighbor mean? At its core, it means that when we're not comfortable with something that Jesus asks of us, we still need to pursue it with everything we have. We need to look past the expectations of the world around us and look toward the support we have, sharing the yoke of Jesus to give us strength. As we have been talking these last few weeks about the need to share the gospel in our community, and there are many here who have offered that they are uncomfortable with these conversations, it makes for the perfect reason to focus on how we have support in all of this. None of us do this alone. The yoke of Jesus makes this far easier. We also cannot wait until we have it all together. At the concert performed by the band Unspoken this last Thursday night, lead singer Chad Mattson made the point abundantly clear that we are all works in progress. Philippians 1:6 reminds us that there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. So if you're waiting until you feel you've got it all down and you're going to succeed every time, stop waiting. Make the choice now, in this moment, to move forward, trusting that God is continuing the work being done in each of us. Doing this should be easy because the gospel is simply a Bible word that means good news. The good news is that God loves us. He loves us so much that when he sees us in our brokenness, he doesn't just leave us there. Instead, God sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and die the death that we each deserve. Jesus died on a cross, was buried, and God raised him from the dead, proving that Jesus is who he says he is. The Bible says that when we repent and believe in Jesus, God does a miracle. He takes every ounce of sin we have and puts it on Jesus and takes all of Jesus' righteousness and gives it to us. Now we are in right standing with God, and he helps us recover and pursue his design for our lives. If God's love is that powerful, why would we ever want to hold it in for fear of opinion polls and challenges from others? Sharing it first is going to be uncomfortable, but we have the yoke of Christ to ease that discomfort. Every time we see someone who is struggling, we have an opportunity to invite them to learn a way toward happiness, especially if they've been trying everything else. They already know those choices don't bring peace or healing. We know that there is a way to break free from addiction. There's a way to find peace for a broken heart. There's a way to find hope for a new job or a new home or a new life. There's a way to move from broken to healed. That way is the gift of God's love. It's free and available all the time. Thanks to God's grace, we don't have to do anything to receive it, except to accept it. And anyone who may need to learn a little more about how to accept that love and support in their lives, you'd only stop in here on a Sunday morning. Join us at 10:30 and hear a little bit more, to be at peace more, to have more hope, knowing no one is left out and no one is left behind, no matter who they are or where they are on life's journey. That's how I intend to share the gospel this week. With a little discomfort, but not worrying about opinion polls. Instead, focusing on the result Jesus promises us is waiting for us. It will be imperfect. It will not always succeed. But that one time it does is worth thousands of tries that might not. Will you join me?